The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw out some and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Everyone who makes wine knows, and those familiar with the winemaking process know, that you can't take water, pour it into a jar, and make wine. Everybody knows that, except for God. He doesn't know that. And he can do it. It's amazing. How did it read? And his disciples put their trust in him. This is a fascinating miracle that we hear about today as Jesus began his ministry. Epiphany. This guy walking around in flesh and blood is not just a person. This guy walking around in flesh and blood is God. Epiphany. Jesus is God. It's the season of Epiphany, and Epiphany, the color's green, but it's a different kind of green. It's like the growing pains of a teenager. There's a lot of revelations that God reveals in your life and my life. Pow! Epiphany. More than anything else, God reveals that Jesus is our Savior. Epiphany. That he is God. And he can do all things well. And there's a lot of other epiphanies that God reveals to us in our life, where it's more than just a liturgical season. There are times in your life and my life where we're learning so much we think, "Oh, I can't handle this, dear Lord." There are times when through forgiveness we realize how wonderful it is to be comforted by God for all the wretched things that we do. Epiphany. Epiphany is the season of the light bulb going on in our hearts and in our minds. God revealing himself to us so that we have courage and strength and peace and a stubbornness to go with God in all that he wants us to do. It may seem a bit strange sometimes when he says, "Pour water in the jar and serve it." But the last words recorded by Mary in Scripture, in fact, I think they're the only words, well, they're, you know, apart from the visitation, is whatever he says, does. Whatever he says, do. It's fascinating. And Jesus revealed his glory. That's what John says. Jesus reveals his glory. Manifested. And that's really what Epiphany is God revealing more to you and me in our lives. I hope you're in the season of Epiphany often. God revealing important truth to you about your life, about your identity. I mean, that reading from Isaiah is amazing. No longer a land desolate and forsaken. I am a land favored, and so are you. But this revealing and manifesting his glory is filled with intrigue. I mean, this is where our theology on the nature of God gets messed with by this miracle. I mean, the wedding runs out of wine. Mary says to her son, they have no wine. And what does Jesus say? Mom! Right? Mom! How did he say it? It's not my hour. It's not my hour. I mean, he obeys his mom. You know, he's a dutiful son. And then she says, whatever he says, do, you know. But it's fascinating. It wasn't his hour, and he understood it. From the very beginning, Christ was fulfilling, carrying out, and he was going to an hour where he would reveal his glory. And in this first sign that he did, he knew that was not a part of it. And yet his disciples put their trust in him. You and I, as his disciples, have something else where we put our trust in him for. In fact, he hits it out of the park. This is how it goes in John chapter 12. And Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. There it is. The hour has come. This is what it's all about. We call this the beginning of the passion narrative of our Savior's journey to the cross, where he does what only he could do for you and for me. And he hits it out of the park. He manifests his glory in taking upon himself all of our sin and wickedness, all the ways that we have failed in thought, word, and deed, by what we've done, by what we've left undone. He hits it out of the park, going in our place so that we would have his amazing grace. And here it is. Here it is. Jesus does more than just have them pour water in the jars. He takes sinners and turns them into saints. Wow. That's how he's glorified. Rescuing us. Making us that land, no longer forsaken, desolate, but a land redeemed, a land loved, people married to the Good Shepherd. We are the bride of Christ. He goes on, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And that's what Jesus came to do. That's what his hour is all about. Helping out the wedding, turning water into wine, now, making sinners saints, pouring into our lives his love and his grace, making us rich and robust with the flavors of good works that display our righteousness to the people around us so that we are different. Weird is good in Christ. Where we are honest and helpful and kind and forgiving and merciful. We seek to live out our lives with integrity. When we fall short, we ask for forgiveness. That's what it's about. And that's what God wants the world to see in his family, in his people, in you and me. And it's in Christ it gets done. Maybe after a week you feel like you're pretty worn out, your testimony's been pretty bad, and you feel like you're barely breathing. Well, get ready. He'll fill you. He is filling you. He will care for you because you are his, no longer desolate. That's your identity. That's the truth. It's interesting. You are the object of Jesus' recreative work, but it's different than pouring water into a container. And this is where the season of Epiphany is like growing pains. It's like those rude awakenings. It's like those discoveries about your identity with God. There are places in your life and my life where it just hurts. What's God doing there? I mean, can't he just pour a little water in and make it all good? No, that's not the way he works in your life and my life. Your whole life is the object of his care. In all the parts and pieces of it, he is doing things. He is making a difference. But some of it doesn't make sense. Some of it hurts. That's Epiphany. Some of it you think, Lord, I know you want to change this in my life and that in my life, but I feel like you've taken out a whole supportive wall. How am I going to be able to go forward this way? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always make sense. It isn't always nice and fluffy, the season of Epiphany in your life and my life. I mean, it makes sense, you know. When we're first made a part of the Lord's, you know, he's going to take this shotgun shack, this desolate land, and he's going to shape it up and take care of things. But then when he starts messing with things we think are important, we fail to understand that he's trying to make us into his temple and will make us into his temple because he cares about us. So if you still feel like there's no more wine in certain places in your life, the Lord's not done. The Lord's not done. He's still at work. Pouring into your life and my life, in the parts and pieces that make up our life, across the spectrum of your life and my life, his love and his forgiveness. To make your life and my life robust in the flavors he has designed for us. He's at work. He's at work. I don't know, I'm to the age now where I find myself every once in a while thinking, well, those days are gone, and you know, this is what I may as well settle for. And do you ever think that way? Like, let's just stop. Let's just stop. Now I'm going to sound like your dad. You know, you can be thankful for the previous chapters of your life and say, yeah, those were sure good times that I was able to bench press this and do that. Okay, that's fine, guys, gals, whatever. That's fine. But that chapter's done. There's a new chapter with new things because God isn't done yet. It's interesting. In this miracle at this wedding, it's fascinating. Just think about this miracle. You know, they run out of wine. Yeah, whatever he says, do. And then this rabbi says to the servants, yeah, just pour some water in the jars. Like, right? You're kidding me. You know, do you suppose some of those servants are saying, this is crazy. I've made a lot of wine. This is not the way you make wine. And then it really gets bad when Jesus says, take a little bit of it and give it to the guy in charge. Like, that's, you're going to do it this time, not me. Because, you know, I mean, isn't that guy going to get fired by saying, here's your next batch of wine for everybody. And the guy drank, what do you mean this is water? I mean, it's so ironic. They simply follow. They do what he's told them to do. And it changes. That's your life. That's my life. How in your life and my life do we think, oh, it's a day late, dollar short, what's the use? When what we really need to be is just faithful. Even when it doesn't make sense. Faithful. Okay, Lord, following you in this. I just want to follow you, Lord. That's what it's about. We don't even know when the water turned into wine. We don't know. But it's not about that anymore. It's about your life and my life. Because his desire is to make your life robust with the sweetness of his love and grace. And especially where you feel like you're all... What happens to wine when it's around too long? Stale or... What is it? It turns... Rancid. Yeah. Wherever you think you're rancid, Lord's not done. He's working. And that means the best is yet to come. It might be a different kind of chapter. That's okay. Let it go and go to the next thing. Because Christ is still at work in your life and my life, doing new things. His desire is to work in you and then through you and be a blessing to those around you. He's not done. Put your trust in him who turns sinners into saints. Turning water into wine is something. Just think about that. And if you see the beauty around you and you think about how wonderful things are, understand this, you're God's most beautiful thing. And he has all kinds of purposes and plans for you. The richness and the robustness of you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.